Coming up here on ESPN Today, it'll be First Take following us, then SportsCenter continues our breakdown of college basketball's greatest player bracket with the Midwest region. That'll be followed by NFL Live with Mel Kiper Jr.'s Mock Draft 3.0 unveiled. SportsCenter back at 5 Eastern, and then cap your day with SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt tonight, 11 Eastern on ESPN. Meanwhile, as we are finding new and creative ways to stay busy in this time, we want you to send us your feats of athletic greatness. Please send us videos of how you're athletically keeping busy during this time. Use the hashtag RiseAndShine, and I want to show you one that we got here. Look at this kid here. He is working hard on the treadmill, keeping his soccer skills sharp during these trying times. And you know what? I reached out to my buddy Frank Caliendo. He added a little play-by-play from the legendary duo of Pat Summerall and John Madden, and here's how that sounds.
This young man's working hard during quarantine, John.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's on a treadmill, and he's dribbling a soccer ball, and somebody's putting down little, what would you call those, Pat?
Probably discs.
Yeah, it's kind of like Crossy Road. You ever play Crossy Road?
Can't say that I have.
Frogger?
Yeah. Look at the control.
You mean the dribbling or the dog?
The great Frank Caliendo. You can follow him on Twitter, at Frank Caliendo. He is someone to put a smile on your face during these confusing times. I reached out to him yesterday. I said, Frank, would you do this? He was there for us in a minute. Frank, thank you. We'll continue to do those. Please continue to tweet those using the hashtag RiseAndShine, as I have promised and will continue to. We will be here with you every single morning bringing you the sports news of the day. We will get through this thing together. And this morning, there is huge news. Now, one of the things we're going to get up with this morning is Tua, because while you were sleeping, a video dropped that could change the entire top of the NFL draft, and you will see that coming up in just a few minutes. Plus, the original TB12, Terry Bradshaw, live to explain why he doesn't like Tom going to Tampa. Don't miss it. He'll be with me in about 15 minutes. And then Deshaun Watson, a not-so-subtle statement about his situation in Houston. Is there any way that isn't going to end soon and badly? We'll get to all of that after we start with this. Breaking news coming into our newsroom in just the last few minutes. The 2020 Olympic Games, scheduled for late July into early August of this year in Tokyo, will be postponed for a year because of the coronavirus pandemic. The IOC made that announcement after a meeting with the Japanese Prime Minister, who recommended the postponement. Jeremy Schapp covers the Olympics for us. He knows about as much about this stuff as anybody. And Jeremy, you've been saying for quite some time that this was inevitable, but now it is officially here. Take us through what happens from this point forward and what needs to be done now that this moves back a year.
That's not clear right now, Mike. I mean, this is, as you know, as we all know, unprecedented. The Olympics have been canceled before because of World War I and World War II in 1916, 1940, 1944. But there has never been a postponement before. This is, like so much of what we're experiencing in our daily lives now, entirely uncharted territory. The presumption is that everything will just be pushed back a year, that the games will take place at some point during the summer of 2021. You know, that means that, of course, individual countries are going to have to reschedule all of their qualifying processes. All of that stuff is just going to get pushed. But as you said, this was inevitable. There was no way for these games to proceed. It was simply too dangerous, bringing not only thousands and thousands of athletes to Tokyo this summer when this global pandemic right now, 4 months earlier at this time, is still raging, but the kind of resources it takes, the kind of manpower it takes to get the games up and running. There was simply too much danger. It couldn't happen.
And I know this might be a very complicated question, but what are some of the hurdles that have to be jumped about just picking it up and moving it a year later? It seems clear with something that is this massive of an undertaking, there will be things they have to deal with. It's not just as simple as saying, all right, we'll do it next year. What are some of the biggest things they'll have to figure out?
Sure. I mean, you know, they're going to have to figure out broadcast schedules. They're going to have to figure out how things are going to conflict with various world championships that are scheduled to take place next year. But all of those things, as you know, as complicated as they might be, are surmountable. Whereas dealing with the coronavirus right now and everything we're talking about in terms of the risks to spectators, to athletes, to volunteers, to people working the games, that's something they wouldn't know how to deal with. The Olympics have been adaptable. As I said, they haven't had to postpone in the past, but they've changed the sequencing of the games over the years. If Tokyo was ready for this to happen in July, 4 months from now, it will be ready to do this 16 months from now, or if my math's right. Yeah, I think 16 months from now. They'll figure it out, but it's going to be a massive undertaking, rescheduling everything that needs to be rescheduled, not only at the Olympic site itself in Tokyo, but everything in terms of the preliminaries to that. As we know, you know, it's a process when you have trials in so many sports. In some countries, like the United States, the larger members of the IOC, those are almost like Olympics themselves when you're talking about the track and field trials and the swimming trials and so forth. It's going to be a big logistical nightmare, but it's something that the IOC, which every 2 years pulls off the biggest event in the world in terms of participation, is more than up to the task of handling, I would think.
We will have one of our best-known Olympians coming up live in this hour. Lolo Jones will join us in about 40 minutes with her reaction to this, so we look forward to that. And Jeremy, we'll obviously keep you close. Thank you, my man. Stay safe, and we'll check in with you again soon. Meanwhile, we had planned to begin this hour with this. The biggest question heading into the NFL draft is obviously about the health of Tua Tagovailoa. And last night, he himself tweeted out this video of him doing a throwing drill and said, quote, practicing social distancing with a long ball today. Feels good to spin it again. Hashtag process. So he's showing the world how he looks. And Dan Orlovsky told us earlier this morning that he, Dan, was very impressed with what he saw there. And Mel Kiper Jr., just in the last hour or so, has released his latest mock draft. It's 3.0. And he has Tua going at number 5 now to Miami behind Joe Burrow and then 3 defensive players. He also has Justin Herbert, another quarterback, going at 6, and then Jordan Love, the next quarterback in line, going to New England at 23. All of those are interesting, but let's focus here on Tua. Based upon what you saw on that tape, Mel, you told us earlier this morning, you don't project trades, and that's why you do not want to put Tua at 3. But based on that tape, and whatever it is we're going to hear, and Laura's going to join us in a second with the latest on the medicals, do you expect Tua still to be there at number 5?
Very questionable right now, Greeny. That third pick, you mentioned the Detroit Lions, it'll be a great opportunity for them to move from 5 down to 5. They are guaranteed by moving down either Isaiah Simmons, outside linebacker Clemson, or Jeff Okuda, cornerback Ohio State. So you lose nothing if you're the Detroit Lions by moving down, assuming Miami wants to move up from 5 to 3 to guarantee the acquisition of Tua Tagovailoa. Now, you think about, okay, if that did happen where he ends up in Miami with a trade or at 5, what happens with the next quarterback, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love? Probably the Chargers at 6. What quarterback doesn't go to the Chargers? Whatever quarterback doesn't go to the Chargers then drops down just a bit, Greeny, to whether you want to talk about the Raiders at 12 and 19 or the Patriots at 23. That next quarterback will drop just a bit.
Yeah, the Patriots, I mentioned earlier, Bill Belichick has never drafted a quarterback in the first round. He's only taken one in the second round, and that was Jimmy G a few years ago. Again, Mel's latest mock draft is up on ESPN.com right now. Mel, so well done. Thank you. We'll come back to you. I have Laura ready to go? All right, so Laura, there she is. All right, Laura Rutledge is back with us along with Dan and Marcus. And Laura has been
ready.
No one knows more about the situation with Tua Tagovailoa's health than Laura does. So I know you've been talking to everybody. And what does the video mean? What should we be waking up this morning thinking about now that he has released that video relative to what it means for where he winds up going in the draft?
Well, look, Greeny, I know my friend Dan Orlovsky is really excited about this video, and I understand why, but this is not surprising video to anyone who's been close to this situation. They've been expecting this video to come out. Tua's been doing these types of exercises and these types of drills for a little bit of time now. Of course, he was cleared to do all football activity earlier this month, March 9th, and the scans, of course, right before that came back very positively. So this is just a little snippet, like a little teaser of what's going out to so many around there, out there looking for this type of video. And I think what it shows you is that the teams that are interested in Tua, they're going to be able to see much more of this, much more of him throwing, much more of him doing these types of drills, showing that suddenness, showing that the hip is fully healed. Now, Greeny, a few things just in this timeline that are really important here. As I said, clear for football activity March 9th. There's a scan that's going to happen on April 10th that, Greeny, you referenced earlier in the show. That's in place of what would have been the regular combine recheck. So it would have happened in Indy. Of course, now it won't happen there. And basically what that scan is just the final chance to look at the hip, make sure after he's done some athletic activity repeatedly over a period of time that the hip is still healing properly. There's no cartilage buildup and things of that nature. That's still scheduled to happen. And then that information, that huge file of an MRI will be sent out to any team that's interested. Tua's camp continues to feel confident because the teams that have always been interested are still interested. They don't feel like they had that much more to prove. And if he would have done a pro day, it was really Tua that wanted to do the pro day. A lot of people around him actually said, you don't even need to do that because the teams are interested anyway. But he wanted to do it just to show what he showed in that video yesterday.
Guys, because of the Olympics thing, I'm a little more limited time, so let's go get through a few things quickly. Dan Orlovsky, you were very excited by the 10 seconds of tape that you saw there. Why?
Because every question that we had about Tua when the injury happened 126 days ago has been answered. The question was, what is he going to look like? Can he get back to the sudden quarterback? What will he look like around the combine and then around potential pro days? Those all have been answered, Greeny. All the medical checks have been good. Now there's video of Tua moving. A month ago today at the combine, Tua was limping. And in 1 month, he's doing sudden quarterback drills. Greeny, this will set off. This video is going to set off a game of chicken between the Miami Dolphins and the Los Angeles Chargers. Who is going to go up and get Tua? Because he is back and healthy. And that was the biggest question, and it's been answered.
Swagu, is there any chance in your mind that he lasts past three in this draft one way or the other?
Only if Miami or L.A. doesn't trade up to take Detroit's spot. Tua will go. This is a part of the contract structure as well. I know it's something we talked about, but now you're not as committed to paying quarterbacks $50, $60 million to draft them. Taking a flyer on Tua is not as disturbing as it would have been, let's say, when Sam Bradford came out and got 60 before he played a down. So this is one of those situations where we know a quarterback is really, really good, probably would have been in a conversation to be taken first without the injury history. And now Tua has an opportunity to still go top five, top six, maybe even at three if the trade happens.
Again, Laura is not just in contact with all the doctors, but also with Tua's camp, if you will. What do we know about their expectations, Laura? What do they expect to happen?
Well, look, they continue to feel really confident in Tua being picked high in this draft. And of course, no one really knows how this whole thing's going to go down. But the teams that have been interested for this whole period of time, and specifically, I would point out the Miami Dolphins, a team that I know has consistently asked about Tua's health through this entire process. They've been doing a ton of due diligence through all of this. And so there's a great confidence amongst the people that are close to him. And a lot of that, guys, has to do with the fact that they're watching him work out. They're watching him throw the football. Again, they're watching him do all of this. They've seen the pictures. They've seen the hip. One thing to point out as well, the NFL doctors that were able to check on Tua at the combine, remember he talked about that day when he went through medicals for so long, like 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. They all felt very confident at that point. This small group of doctors, four or five doctors that are consulting all of these NFL teams, they felt confident at that point that he was already healed. It was just a matter of how the hip would respond to the athletic activity. So, Greeny, they continue to feel like they're in a really good position, and they're going to keep working on this to really ramp up his activity level as we go along here.
And Dan, I never know who to believe as we work our way towards the draft, because all these teams are purposely putting out misinformation. But you do every now and again see these stories coming out of Miami that the guy they really like is Joe Burrow. So do we feel like all of this is to at least some degree still in play as we're a month away from the draft?
I mean, it shouldn't be. The Bengals should not move off the first pick, but if Miami wants to go make a run at it, I get it. I think if Miami's looking at this whole situation, Greeny, and going, how do we build ourselves for the next decade plus? The best option for them is to go up to either two or three and go get Tua Tagovailoa with as little draft capital that sacrificed as possible. If they can give up that fifth and maybe that back end first round pick to go up and get him and keep enough. pick available, that is their best option to build for the next 10 years. And they should be thankful for it, that they still have the chance to go get him. That's their best choice.
And they still have Fitzmagic there, who can hold that fort down for a year, as Marcus said, and get a redshirt year. All right, guys, great work. Laura, wonderful work there. And we'll check back in with all of you soon as we continue here working our way towards the draft, which is a month away. As we continue, people in New England are bummed. Fans in Tampa are psyched. One Hall of Famer is confused about Tom Brady's latest decision. His name is Terry Bradshaw, and he'll join us to tell you why next. Plus, Deshaun Watson is quoting Drake and not in a great place when it comes to the Texans. Who's he mad at and why? We'll answer those questions as we continue. Get up on ESPN.
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Back on Get Up, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are set to introduce Tom Brady at a conference call noon Eastern today. It'll be Brady's first chance to explain to the media and I suppose the world what went into his decision to leave the New England Patriots. Meanwhile, in an article that was published yesterday in The Athletic, Terry Bradshaw, the Hall of Famer, said, quote, "Why in the world does he want to keep on playing at 43 other than to prove to New England he's more important than Bill Belichick? Why the hell do you want to go to Tampa? The only thing I can think of is ego gets involved and you decide I'll show him who's more important. I would never have done that. And I was shocked he was leaving. Shocked." And here to explain his thinking is the one, the only, the original TB12, Terry
That's
Bradshaw.
That's right, baby. Michael, how you doing, bud?
I'm great. It is delightful to have you. And I'd love to explain. What was your thinking? I obviously got a lot of attention yesterday. Why did you say what you said about that yesterday?
Well, first of all, we take our great athletes, for instance, and we put them on such a pedestal, and we fail to realize that they're human beings. And I, for the life of me, if you just look at the human nature of this whole thing, why would Tom Brady want to leave New England after 20 years? My question is, number one, at 43, why do you want to keep playing unless it's records out there and that you're striving for, or you want to put them so high that you feel like nobody will ever get to them? Okay, that would be number one. Number two, you cannot tell me that you're wanting to leave New England, but everything is okay between you and Bill Belichick. That just doesn't resonate with me as the right thing. I don't believe that's the case at all. I think after 20 years, why play? And number two, why move? Why not stay right there? What are you going to prove when you move on? You're not athletic like Brett Favre. Brett Favre went to Minnesota and he went to the Jets and was phenomenal. Then you look at Peyton. Peyton took his offense to Denver. They built that thing around him. They had the defense there and the running game, and won a Super Bowl with Peyton. They say his arm strength's not good enough. Arm strength doesn't matter when the brain is so fast and sharp, which he certainly has. So, and then you look at your Niners, who went to San Diego, and that was just embarrassing for Johnny U. So I don't understand why Tom has to leave New England. And he planned it. He was out of there, unless he says, I need a new challenge. Well, the new challenge comes when you move on from football and get on with your life.
But so I think it sounds to me like you're suggesting that they're trying to hide the fact that Brady and Belichick, that's the reason for it. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, that is the reason. Do you understand that?
Right.
What do you make of that? That after 20 years, Brady did not want to stop playing and he just needed to get someplace else to get away from whatever it is, for whatever reason, that particular coach.
Well, I can certainly understand getting away from something that I think is obvious now, is that the pressure that Belichick probably puts on his football team and the pressure that Brady puts on himself to excel, the two of those finally collide. I happen to believe that working for Bill Belichick would have been a great honor. But when you're through, because I think that's exhausting. That kind of commitment to excellence is exhausting. It's mentally exhausting. So perhaps Tom wants to get out from under that kind of pressure and be free and go down to Florida in the warm weather and show the world how great he is, you know, how great he really is without Belichick. I know Belichick can win without Brady. I don't know that Brady can win without Belichick. So when now we have the Eagles, and I just don't understand for the life of me why he would leave New England and move to another football team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We know the coach in Tampa Bay isn't there for very long. That's why he didn't re-sign Jameis. That's probably why they're not going to draft a quarterback, because he doesn't want to have to train a young quarterback, because he's not going to be there long enough. So bringing in Brady makes all the sense in the world. He's got the greatest quarterback with the world titles coming in, and so that makes that offense, which is so good, even better for him. But he better protect him. He better protect it, and he better not make him hold that football very long, because that's not his strength, holding that ball and playing football from the pocket.
So how good do you think the Buccaneers will be? You just ran through it. They've got a lot of good pieces on offense. They have a sneaky good defense. How good will the Buccaneers be?
Well, I think the perception is going to be they're going to be outstanding. You can't. Listen, I can sit here all day long and tell you all the negative things that I see, because I told my wife and my family who are here down in Florida with me, this is just craziness to me. But I think they can, if they protect Brady and he adjusts, I think they'll be fine. I mean, Jameis Winston went 30 for 30, 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions. I thought if you are a good coach and a great quarterback coach, you take Winston and you coach him up. I've even said, hey, let me go there. I'll coach him up. I'll fix that. I know what he's doing. I know what's going on in his head. I'll fix it. But don't get rid of him. He's young. Fix it. Coach him up. Instead, you cast him aside, tell him to go look for a deal, and you bring in a guy you know who's going to study, he's going to prepare. Not saying Jameis wouldn't do that, but who will protect the football. And to answer your question, Mike, I think they'll be good. I don't think they'll be great. I don't think they're going to the Super Bowl. No, not at all.
So then my next question was going to be, if I told you one and the or not the other was going to make it next year, do you think Brady or Belichick has a better chance to get back?
Oh, Belichick. I am such a Belichick believer. Belichick has proven to me time and time again that he can take a quarterback that's not Tom Brady and he can win. We know how great Brady is. Come on, let's not fool ourselves. But I also know that Belichick is one of a kind head coach, and I can see him perhaps making a move. How about Tua? What if Tua goes to New England? How beautiful would that be? Not going to happen. But what if there's a lot of scenarios, and we just watch Belichick and let's see what this thing does, how it plays out. I don't think he can't win with just somebody and that's just going to play quarterback. He's got to have somebody that's got some experience, I believe.
Terry Bradshaw, it was a delight for me to see you in Miami last week with your wife. I hope that you're safe. Yeah.
We are safe. And please tell your wife hello. I really, looking at you and then looking at her, I would have never put the two together, but she's a good-looking gal. She's a and you're a lot bigger than I thought. I mean, you look like a little guy on there, almost. Folks on your set with you, but you're a powerful man, so it was a pleasure seeing you.
Well, it was a delight to see you as well. I'm never going to possibly live past the two things you just said, but outside of that, it was delightful. Be safe. Thank you very much, Terry Bradshaw. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, Michael. Okay, buddy.
There
bye-bye.
He is, the Hall of Famer, Terry Bradshaw, the original TB12. Coming up, they're the last two Heisman winners. We relive their most magical moments as we continue Get Up on ESPN.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name? Check. Birthday? Social security? Is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
We're back on Get Up, and if you're just joining us, enormous news in this morning as it has now been made official. It's not a surprise. It seemed inevitable, but now it has happened. The 2020 Summer Olympics in Tokyo have been postponed until next summer. We talked to Jeremy Schapp about it earlier, about all the things that will go into moving it, and certainly that'll be a huge undertaking. But the reality is there was just no way we were going to be able to get that done this summer. So the Olympics have been pushed back a year. We will have one of the best-known American Olympians, Lolo Jones, live on this show in about 10 minutes, so we will get her reaction to that. Again, the huge news, the 2020 Summer Games in Tokyo have been pushed back to next summer. Before that, we get back to football news, and it starts in Houston, where they traded DeAndre Hopkins last week for what most people in the football industry perceived as less than market value. His former quarterback, Deshaun Watson, took to Twitter yesterday, tweeting lyrics from a Drake song, Emotionless, and I will give you my best here. I don't know how I'm going to make it out of here clean. Can't even keep track of who plays for the other team. Iconic duos rip and split at the seams. Swagoo, what's he saying?
Deshaun Watson is very unhappy, G, and he's realizing the business structure of this league. But not only that, the relationship between Bill O'Brien and D-Hop is the reason D-Hop is gone, and men got to work through that. First of all, that's a great song by Drake. That was in the middle of Drake beefing with another rapper. So I realized that Deshaun Watson now is in a position of kind of no return, man. Best friend let go over personal reasons between him and Bill O'Brien. Not only is one of his best friends, but the most he can count on DeAndre. DeAndre has been there consistently. You take away a weapon from a quarterback, the quarterback suffers in a particular area. So that's what's going on right now. And I firmly believe that Deshaun is starting to feel that and understand that that's a part of this business, but it also is Bill O'Brien's decision. And being that this Bill O'Brien's decision that he has to play for Bill O'Brien, that doesn't bode well for him.
So Dan Orlovsky, I'll get to Graziano in a minute. Orlovsky, what does it all mean to you?
That he wants out. That he wants out of Houston, whether it's now or in the future. Listen, don't think this is by accident that Deshaun Watson did this. This kid's been in the limelight for 10 years. He knows everybody is going to hang on every single word that he is going to say. He's a very smart young man. Don't think this is by accident. Stephon Diggs sent out a tweet not long ago, last year and then a couple months ago. Is he in Minnesota? No. He told us exactly how he was feeling, and he used that platform to make sure he got what he wanted. Deshaun Watson knows what he's doing. Don't be surprised if we look back a year or two from now, and this was just the start of the breadcrumbs that he started to spread out, saying, I don't think I have help here. I feel alone in this organization. There's a lack of leadership to help me play as good as I possibly can, because if Deshaun Watson is placed in the right spot, he's a special quarterback that we have in the NFL. And so, Greeny, I think he's being very clear. He's using social media to tell us how he feels and kind of giving us a glimpse into what he sees as the potential of his future.
Yeah, we all agree on that. So then I can bring in our insider here, Graziano. And the reality is Bill O'Brien is kind of a one-man show there in Houston right now, right? He makes all of the decisions. He has as much power, candidly, as practically any coach in the NFL, including Bill Belichick. So where does this go from here relative to O'Brien, his long-term future in Houston, and then maybe of greater interest, Watson's long-term future?
Yeah, you're right, Greeny. Bill O'Brien's title right now is head coach and general manager. If you look at the Texans organizational chart, the only people above him are the owners and the team president. So he's making these decisions. Now, if you look at a situation where DeAndre Hopkins is gone and Deshaun Watson is upset about that, that's obviously understandable. The question now is, where do they go from here? Can Bill O'Brien repair the relationship? Can he get it to a point where Deshaun Watson buys into his long-term vision for what they're doing with the organization? Can he replace DeAndre Hopkins with somebody who will ease Deshaun Watson's feelings about this? Deshaun Watson, they have a fifth-year option on him for 2021. They have to pick that up in early May. Assuming they do, he's under contract through 2021. Let's watch to see if they extend his contract this offseason. If they do, then you know he's all in and they're in it together. If they don't, then I think we're heading into next year with the same questions about what that relationship is long term and can it be fixed.
Yeah, he's in that same year where we keep talking about Mahomes. Will he get the long term extension? Obviously, totally different circumstances because Watson, who knows if he wants to stay there for the foreseeable future. All right, guys, let's change the topic completely. We have two super high-profile quarterbacks at the top of the upcoming draft, Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa. And so our staff put together the top 10 plays from those two dynamic young stars as we look ahead to their being drafted into the draft. And I'll have you guys come along for the ride with me. Number 10, this is Tua's first career start. Orlovsky, we could see star written all over him fast.
Yeah, this is the spin out, Greeny, like in the pocket, the sudden reactionary spin out and the touchdown pass. You saw the talent level early on.
Yeah, he would beat Louisville in that game. Swagoo, Joe Burrow wearing Burrow with the X at the end of it on senior night. They loved him at LSU.
Oh, it embodies everything about Louisiana. It's our native son from Ohio. He came in, embraced everything that Louisiana was about, and he simply was called nine. And when you get called the number, you are the man.
Yeah, here number eight is the next one. It's Alabama. Carolina is past September, and Tua had five touchdowns, Dan.
Greeny, you saw just the distribution of Tua's game, right? Some RPOs, ball out of his hands. Obviously, special players in the outside with a bunch of yak, but you saw the ball distribution and placement by Tua, Greeny.
Yeah, and he had an even better day on September 28th of this year. 2 weeks after throwing five touchdowns, he threw six in a rout of Ole Miss. He actually was responsible for seven touchdowns. That tied an SEC all-time record. At number six, this was Tua in November of 2 years ago. Swagoo, again, just putting on a show against Auburn.
Putting on a show and putting the ball wherever he wanted to, G. And this is what scouts are going crazy about. The fact that this kid can fit it anywhere. He's a lefty. The ball looks great coming out of his hand. And he balls in big moments.
And then you had Tua versus Burrow in November of this past year. And, Dan, this was the game where Joe Burrow became the number one pick.
Yeah, this is the game that you said Joe Burrow's best player on the field. I mean, this is the game that he was unstoppable for a great majority of this game, Greeny.
Yeah, at number four, you have December this past year, Joe Burrow winning the Heisman, and Swagoo, there was never any question about this one.
Oh, man, one of the proud moments. It's a super emotional speech. The fact that LSU got their second Heisman to Billy Cannon. The fact that Joe Burrow talked about Ohio State and where he had come from, but he represented Louisiana well.
And 2 weeks later, he was even better. I mean, what they did in that semifinal game in the Peach Bowl, he threw seven touchdown passes. He was absolutely brilliant as they blew out Oklahoma. And then on to the national championship, Danny, against Clemson.
Greeny, I was on the field for this game, and I was just watching, and I was like, this dude, Joe Burrow, is a stone-cold assassin. He started off slow in that game, remember, and then he just took off. And this is against one of the nation's best defense, and he was as dominant as I've ever seen a quarterback in real life.
How could that not be number one? It is because Tua Tagovailoa at number one, Marcus, burst onto the scene in the second half of the national championship game 2 years ago. Unforgettable.
Yes, and I was on the sideline for this one, and you saw him make plays that you were like, God, this is unconventional. This is young. He's eventually going to make a mistake. And he did. Took a sack, threw a pick, but here it is.
Look, it was one of the great moments in college.
Dropped the dime in the bucket and walked off. You don't have walk-off touchdowns unless you tour.
One of the great moments in college football history. Top 10 from those two. Coming up, an encore presentation of the Oscar-winning five-part 30 for 30 documentary OJ Made in America over four nights starting today on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Part one begins tonight, 7 Eastern, followed by part two at 9. Meanwhile, as we talk more about Tua, the video came out yesterday, looked awfully good. Was it good enough to consider him at number one? We'll talk about that with the crew from First Take as this hour continues. Get up on ESPN.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
We are back on Get Up with sneaky big news, and we'll call it sneaky because people don't generally pay enough attention to offensive linemen. But yet another really good NFL player has retired at a young age, and it is the Cowboys center Travis Frederick, who battled an autoimmune disease and missed an entire season 2 years ago, and his absence was palpable on that Cowboys offense 2 seasons ago. He then returned this past year, and you see the numbers as clear as can be on your screen. Without him in the middle of their offense, their offense was not particularly good, at least statistically, and with him back, obviously it made an enormous difference. And so as I go back to Dan Orlovsky here on this, you know, Dan, you were mentioning that that losing a center for a quarterback is a very big deal. As we called it sneaky big news, people may not realize just how big a deal this is.
No, Greeny, this is massive. This is a massive loss for the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. I need to get people to understand, like, when the quarterback has the center that sees things the same way, that he understands, okay, in the run game, all five of our offensive linemen are going to go to that certain person to create the angle for the run or whatnot, or in the pass protection game, like, you know what, the pressure's coming over there, Travis, you handle it. Get everybody on the same page. There's a saying in football, if we're all wrong, we're all right. And the center is the guy that makes sure everybody's on the same page, because then you're okay. And for Dak Prescott in this offense to lose Travis Frederick is a huge deal in this offseason, because you're not going to get this offseason now with everybody glued together and to replace somebody. This is a big loss for Dallas.
No question about it. All right, Dan, stay with me. And Marcus, you in particular, stay with me because our next guest is ready to go. We have enormous news that is well beyond just sports and well beyond just the United States. It is global news of consequence. The announcement has been made this morning that the 2020 Olympic Games, scheduled for late July into early August of this year in Tokyo, will be postponed for a year due to the coronavirus pandemic. The IOC made the announcement after a meeting with the Japanese prime minister, who recommend the postponement. And I'm delighted to be able to bring in on the phone one of our best known Olympians. She is a dual U.S. Olympian, Lolo Jones. And Lolo, we thank you very much for doing this. I know that you reached out to Marcus Spears, who was a friend of yours, because you wanted to come on and comment a little bit on what this has been like as an athlete and for the athletes preparing for this. And now the news that the games have officially been postponed. So first and foremost, Lolo Jones, what is your reaction to the postponement of the 2020 games?
Wow, I am overwhelmed just with satisfaction that finally a decision was made. I mean, I don't think people like were really understanding. Like, we're stubborn. We're stubborn athletes here. We're driven athletes, and we were trying our best. Our job is to overcome impossible odds. So we kept trying to train because the Olympics and the IOC said, hey, the Olympics is happening. Stay ready, stay ready. Well, everything kept shutting down. So you saw Olympians and Olympic hopefuls all around the world trying to go outside in public, putting themselves in danger, putting their communities at risk just because the IOC would not shut us down. Well, now we're officially shut down. I'm so happy we can all just take a deep breath, pause, reset, and focus on global health.
Marcus, you want to jump in?
Yeah, Lolo, you and I, you know, obviously we spoke, and for everybody out there in America, Lolo's like a sister to me. This discussion was heated because I didn't understand. So I asked you to help me understand. What were the athletes having to do, Lo, in order to try to continue to get ready for the Olympics, not knowing what the outcome would be?
So the main problems the athletes had issue with is, one, everything kept getting shut down. So a lot of Olympic athletes don't train at professional environments like your NBA, your NFL, because they're considered amateur. So we train at public universities. Well, the public universities were all shut down by governments because governments were saying, hey, no group gatherings. And so we're going to like high school and middle school tracks. Well, even those got shut down. I mean, you saw swimmers. They were trying to drive around in California and trying to find people who were rich enough to have a private pool that was big enough for them to get workouts in. I mean, it was crazy. It was crazy because we should have been home. We should have been home safe, not trying to go outside in public and do exactly what the government wanted to do. Another reason why it was unfair, drug testing had been shut down. So therefore, you are not even drug testing the athletes at this point? How are you going to impose a fair Olympic Games if you're missing the most critical month of drug testing? And another thing, like Greece, Italy, China, they haven't been able to leave their house for weeks, maybe a month. Then you have Americans who are just now starting to get hit with this virus. It was unfair qualifying standards. Some athletes could train, some athletes couldn't. I mean, come on. It was just ridiculous.
And so now, again, Lolo Jones, as you were told us a moment ago, you are relieved the decision has officially been made. So take us through, from the standpoint of an athlete, what this change will mean to you. The games have been pushed back for a year. How will that affect you, and what will you do from here?
I mean, this affects me a few different ways that it would not maybe affect another Olympian. So one, I'm an older athlete. So for me to push back for an Olympic year, this was my last push, guys. I mean, it's great. I'm so thrilled that I was on. I was one of the voices to do it, but it directly hurts me in my career, because I honestly don't know if my body has another year to train for the Olympics, but it's what needed to be done. Two, it affects me because I, as well, compete in the Winter Olympics. So, you know, I can still do bobsled training. It's a little bit different than track training, but those qualifying processes would be around the same time as the Summer Olympic Games now. So I've really put myself in a pickle here. I've got to take it one day at a time. I know right now, immediately, I will probably be ordering a pizza because I have a whole nother month or, you know, a year to get myself in shape.
Lolo Jones, thank you very much for being here again. The original intention was to hear about what was going on for the athletes and then this news breaking while we're on the air. We're glad to get your reaction to it. We're glad that a decision has finally been made for you and all the other athletes who were left in limbo. We wish you the best of luck, and we'll follow this as it goes forward. Thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Have a good day.
That's Lolo Jones, again, with the Olympics now officially postponed until next summer. Earlier, or this morning, we had Terry Bradshaw talking about his concerns about Tom Brady's future. Stephen A., Max, and more on that. First Take, coming up 10 minutes on ESPN. Thursday was supposed to be opening day, so we're going to do our best to fill the void with 8 hours of home run derbies starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN2 and the ESPN app. We'll start with last year's record-breaking Dinger Fest and finish up with the 2015 Derby from Petco Park. We hope all the baseball fans will enjoy. Meanwhile, the big question heading into the draft, of course, has been about the health of Tua Tagovailoa, who himself last night tweeted out a video of him doing a throwing drill and said, quote, practicing social distancing with a long ball today. Feels good to spin it again. Hashtag process. We had Dan Orlovsky very impressed with what he saw in this admittedly very brief tape, but just what you're seeing from him and where his athleticism is at this point in the process. Dan was very impressed, and Dan is here, and so is Max Kellerman, as we're about 5 minutes away from First Take. Max Kellerman, where do you think that Tua winds up going in this draft?
Miami. Look, Tua is, in my view, if I were a team drafting up high, whether or not I thought I had a quarterback, that quarterback would have to be special for me to pass on Tua. I would have to think I have a Hall of Fame kind of quarterback for me to pass on Tua. Guys, we are forgetting how special he is. It was one of these, you know, Andrew Luck or Trevor Lawrence or one of these quarterbacks who comes along and we think, hey, not this upcoming draft, but the draft after next. Do you want your team to tank for that guy? That's how special Tua is, and the only reason his stock has devalued is injury. But he looked pretty good in that video. If the fact is that he checks out physically and gets a clean bill of health, you go to a place with Miami who seems to be loaded for bear, been trending in the right direction, then added all those pieces, and now you just kind of parachute in a special quarterback. That's a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, I think everyone is looking at it the same way. The question will be where the Dolphins take him. Can they sit at five, or do they have to move up? We'll talk about that more again. Max and Steve and company are 3 minutes away from First Take, and we'll see you there. Max, thank you very much, as always. The Max Kellerman and First Take is just moments away. I've got Orlovsky, and we'll finish up with him and Swagoo. So I think all of us are in agreement that Tua looks good, that this has gone as well as it could have gone. The question is, if the Dolphins or anyone else want to take him, where will they have to take him? Dan, in your opinion, do you have to trade up to three to get to Tagovailoa?
Yeah, you do, Greeny. You got to go to three because I It's going to take some courageous people to draft him, and then it's going to take some courageous people to miss on him. And if you're the Dolphins and your owner, Stephen Ross, and you're sitting there and you let Tua get past three and someone jumps you, the Chargers jump you to go to four, and they go draft Tua at number four, and then the Dolphins are sitting there going, uh-oh, what do we do? And then 10 years from now or 3 years from now, Tua's a superstar, you're all fired because you didn't make the move. You've got, if once you peg that that's the guy, no matter the picks that it costs you, reasonable, but like, you got to go get him, Greeny. And I don't think that there's any way that an organization could sit there and go, yep, all the questions we had on Tua are answered. He's the special player that we thought. We're just going to sit back and let him fall to us. You don't let a franchise-changing player fall to you. You go and hunt him down. So I think you'll have to go to three to go get him.
Swaggoo, you're the GM. Are you doing it?
Yeah, I'm doing it, G. And I may actually have to go to two. And let the shuffling happen after me if I really want him that bad, because sitting there in Washington, obviously with Dwayne Haskins being there already, you may have to go up that early, especially if you have the Chargers right after Miami, who's number six, that may feel like, hey, if we really want Tua, if we have to get Tua, we're going to be on the phone with the Washington Redskins, barring that Cincinnati is already done with Joe Burrow, like we all think. I would 100% do it if I think Tua is going to turn into the Drew Brees.
What you can expect, Dan, is between now and then, Washington is going to send out signals that they're open for business and ready to trade down. In your mind, is there any question they take Chase Young at number two? Is he someone you could consider passing up?
No, Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio would take Chase Young at number two. They should absolutely try to get people to think that they want to. If I'm the Detroit Lions, I've said this. I make everyone believe that I absolutely love Tua Tagovailoa, and then I hate Matthew Stafford. I want everyone to think that, and I would never draft Tua over Stafford for them. But if the Redskins are able to get somebody to come up to them, they've hit the home run. But somebody, whoever wants Tua, will have to go get him.
We will leave it there, and we will have much more on this tomorrow. Dan, thank you. Marcus, thank you. And most importantly, again, thank you for getting up with us. We're going to get through all of this together as sports fans. And the fun continues next. It's time for First Take on ESPN.